Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. You have come to a place where we're not professionals. We don't even get paid for this sort of thing.
No. I get fed.
No, not very
sometimes.
Much. Yeah.
Half
yeah.
the time.
Most of the time you're just whining about the heat. So can you please turn up the heat, Mr. Cratchit? Please, some more coal on the fire. Gosh, I tell you. In the studio with me today, CJ is here.
All right. Glad to be here.
Good to have you here.
All right.
Hey, so we're talking about a topic that, hey, you're all about this because you know everything about it. Self-control.
I am self-control to...
Self-discipline.
Yes.
Yeah, you that just got to...
That's my middle name.
That's what we're gonna. That's why we're talking about it today, because he's going to share with you how he is lacking in that area in so many parts of his life. Then he's going to point mine out right after that.
Well, by then the show will probably be over, so I won't get to it.
Yeah. Well, there's not. There's. Well, that's a whole show of its own right there. All my defects of character. Anyway, so that's what our main topic is. We always like to kind of kick things off a little bit with a little bit of, or maybe not just a little bit, some encouragement for you guys. Because, man, if nothing else, men need to be encouraged, because there's a lot of discouragement going on out there. You can watch TV and watch some really dumb shows that always seem to make the men look like
that's
when not much
of a man.
You need
to have self-control and not watch them.
That's it.
Mm. Mm.
Anyway.
Anyway, the encouragement would be, I know for me, I have a... like a lot of men, you always say a built-in forgetter, and I forget a lot of things. But sometimes when God is testing us and it doesn't seem he's right there with us, we need to remember the times that when he came through powerfully, so that we can hold on to that and remember that he is testing us. The same thing God did with Israel, why he allowed certain dates like the Passover to remember, so that you can always remember his power, his love, and his kindness, so that when you are being tested, you can look back at the time in your life, whatever moment that is in your life, and you can hold on to that and know that the Lord was there for you, and he pulled you through right when you needed to get pulled through, so that when you're going through whatever you're going through now, even though he may seem like he's not there, just remember what he's done. So the encouragement is to remember what the Lord has done for you, so that you don't grow weary.
And sometimes the best way of being able to do that is because our heads will not necessarily be there, is to have people in our lives that actually are
remind
seeking
us.
Him also.
Oh.
Mm. You know, they have a tendency of being able to notice when we're off base a little bit, you know.
Amen.
And so they would say, hey, what's everything okay? Yeah. Yeah. What's going on with you? And how's your, have you prayed today? Have you turned it over, let it go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I don't really do that too much.
You don't do what?
Have that. I'm kind of quiet. I don't. I don't know. What's it called when you keep to yourself? I can't think of that.
Introvert.
Introvert. Yes. Yes. So kind of like
it's
that.
It's called selfish. That's what it's called. You know, please understand, we have this relationship that he allows me to be able to do that. Then later on, he smacks me with the right uppercut. And then all of a sudden, boom, I'm out. So anyway. All right. Well, there's some encouragement there for you, brother. But let's get on to this topic of self-control, self-discipline. Mm. Now, we know that in the book of Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, there's nine of them. The very last one is self-control.
Yeah.
Okay. And sometimes that's a surprise. It was a surprise for me to see that the very first time the first time I ever heard it. I didn't see it. I heard it. And I go, self-control.
You mean you're surprised seeing the Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I thought, wow, I didn't know this was like a, you know, that's a self-control. Like that's, okay.
You
got to pull up my own bootstraps in a sense. But really, it has nothing to do with that.
I think what it has to do with is not giving in to your own lust of the flesh, lust of the world. First Peter or Second Peter, maybe I'll read it later. Talking about how God has given us. Jesus has given us all things to be able to have godliness, to be able to attain it. But in order to do that, it goes into how we need to have self-control, and that's over the lust of the flesh. And the reason being is because when we give in to that, for one, we lose the self-control, but we also are given in to the enemy, and God isn't nowhere to be found when we give in to that. So I think self-control is... now, a lot of us, including myself, when you first get going, you tend to say, well, if I pray and I can't stop this on my own, if I can't do it on my own, how can I have self-control over it? But I think that's when it leads into other things down the road.
Well, in self-control, does it always lead? Is it all about sin all the time?
I would say this. Anything that doesn't honor God is a sin. Now, there's sin that leads to death, and there's sin that doesn't lead to death, right?
So let's talk about a different angle of self-control in a sense.
Okay.
You might be a little young to know this, but they used to have a commercial on TV that says, I bet you can't eat just one Ruffles potato chip, right? Now, self-control would come into having one chip and then not eating another.
Yeah.
Okay. And because you so desire that salt is really what it comes down to,
mm-hmm.
that's in the chip. You know, we all taste that. Now, eating a chip is not necessarily just eating a chip is not sinful.
No.
It's not dishonoring God. Okay. But what it can lead to is gluttony.
Yeah. Very quickly, okay. The whole bag's gone.
Yeah. I bought 3 bags at the store. Yeah. We'll see if we can finish it all by the end of the day. What, morning, noon, and evening? Anyway, so the fact is that so self-control isn't necessarily, applies to a lot of different areas mm-hmm. of our life.
Well, I think the potato chip thing is a good reference for how sin really is in our life, the lust of it is, because the enemy will look at it, it's just a chip, it's all right, and then you get one, you're like, oh, man, that was, and then you get a little bit more, and then you're indulged in it, and then that's when sin leads to death.
Here's the thing is that I wanted to talk about more on the efforts of how the sin in our life, not necessarily about the potato chip and how not to. But the same principle, the answer, the solution is the same for both, whether it be in a sinful lack of self-control or eating a potato chip that seems to be not a bad thing necessarily, okay? Or even a piece of chocolate or whatever. It's like anything else. But self-control is being able to keep ourselves under control. In other words, not
giving in.
Not giving in a
to
sense,
lust
right?
of the flesh.
Right.
Yeah, it I know for me, it was challenging with when I was doing steroids to have Lord forgive me. When I was in the middle of doing it, I was like, it's all right. I'll stop after I'm done. I'll have self-control over myself when I'm done. Just let me just do this and then I'll call it good after that. But the thing is, I really didn't have self-control over it at all. I thought I did, but I didn't, not even close. And it's only, I forced myself to have self-control when, my life went to shambles. So then I was like, man, I should probably have some self-control over my own desires, my own lust.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, you know, one of the biggest things about the self-control here is the sense that, You know, we are actually enslaved to sin when we're in the midst of sin. Our nature is to sin. It's self-gratification to be able to give the body the things that it so desires.
That's right? The flesh, yeah. All flesh. Yeah.
And so because of that, that's where the battle comes in, is our mind versus our flesh, in a sense.
Which one we're feeding, if we're feeding the flesh or feeding the spirit.
Exactly. And so often, because we've all been at that place in darkness of feeding the flesh the majority of the time. Of sitting there saying, okay, I'll control it. I'm only going to do this once a week. One day a week is all. You know, one day a week, and I'm going to do this, and that's just what it is.
Yeah, that doesn't. Well, I think
it does work for a while.
Once again, then what happens is the sin, it just takes hold of you, like it does with everyone. It's like the theory with the frog in the frying pan. You just heat it up slowly. The frog's not going to jump out, right?
It's actually water in.
Is that what it is?
Okay. The water boils.
Well, as long as it's not right away, you're not going to be like, hey, what was that? But that's what he's smart at what he does. That's why he is who he is, because he's not going to make sure that you see it coming right away.
Right.
He's going to make sure that it's gradual, that it doesn't look like it's that bad.
Yeah, everything's nice and warm in here, man. This water's pretty comfortable. And, I'm feeling a little tired right now. And, before you know it, okay,
they're
frog legs.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but anyway, when it comes down to self-control, self-discipline, I think King James mentions that they're both
interchangeable.
It's temperance, okay, is kind of the same thing in a sense. We're not here to try to cross T's and split hairs here and try to say, okay, this is the difference between this and that. But really what it comes down to is that, first off, self-control. Is it something that comes up from our own nature? Is it something that we have?
Well, here's where I...
Huh?
It's hard to... here's the thing. We can't do anything. We would all be like Hitler if God took his grace off of each one of us, or the worst person. The only reason we don't do something is because God's grace is on us. So is it in us? Yes, it is. But can we do without him? No. So I think, and this is where it comes in with the self-discipline. If you don't have the discipline to get in the word, you're not going to have the conviction of self-control of knowing when to stop something. So is it all of us? No. Is it all of God? No. I think it's when he sees us trying to make a commitment to stop something, he gives us the grace to do it.
Okay.
So
the grace. So it comes from the Spirit, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Okay. And I have a tendency of agreeing with that.
Mm-hmm.
Self-control, self-discipline generally refers to our ability to control or restrain ourselves from all kinds of feelings, impulses, and desires, which includes the desire for physical and material comfort. So it helps us to restrain from feelings, impulses, and desires.
The feelings, the emotions, when I read that in the dictionary, that actually surprised me, because with men, I think of like the lust or your temper, or good ones with Solomon and David. They couldn't have self-control with women. And
The feelings. I mean, it feels pretty good. I want more of this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so.
Yeah, and it does. And
it's like the potato chip commercial. They do a different type of commercial.
Well, and what that comes in is I think a lot of times the devil tries to hide that by filling in a gap in your life that you probably, or when we're in the middle of something we don't have, that gap should be filled with God, but it isn't. So I think the devil plays that trick on us about how this will fill in that gap, will make you feel better, will make you feel good, and then all of a sudden we say we have self-control, but we're still giving into it all the time.
And yet it's difficult, because we see so many other people who sometimes they have something that we want, And I go, I want that. So then all of a sudden my desire for it is increased.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then you start coveting it and then
And then, of course, you know, because that's usually what ends up taking place. And yet we think it's okay. It's not a big deal. Yes. Would I love to drive, a two-door Bentley, that's a 70, $100,000 vehicle? Yeah, but do I need it? Or not just that, but do I really want, I mean, would I give up what I have to try to get that?
Well, you know what I've, it's kind of been just a revelation from the Lord lately, is the more that you have, like the better the things are, I think the more reluctant you're going to be willing to give it up. So if you have
you mean better things are in your life, you mean?
No. For example, the widow, remember she gave just a coin, but it was all that she had.
Right.
Where the rich, they just give just what they are supposed to, the 10%, right? So
she gave above and beyond.
Yes, but but she didn't have much. So I think when you start coveting, you start taking things in, it draws your heart away from God very quickly, and then all of a sudden, that's when the self-control disappears, because all of a sudden you're more concerned about what you need to do to get things, and then you're worried about losing it, and then it just leads to, for one, arguments in your family. It could lead to you working 70 or 80 hours a week, just because, and it all comes from not having self-control about not wanting.
Right. Right.
So,
you know, lack of self-control comes in a lot of different, it comes in different venues, different angles into our lives and everything. I mean, as an example, is there anything in your life that when you start doing it, it's kind of difficult for you to stop doing it? Not necessarily something that might be sinful. I mean, it could if it were in excess, but I mean, is there, as an example, like video games?
Yeah. I would say watching movies. That's my thing. If I could sit down and watch movies for 8 hours a day, easy.
Yeah.
I could just
being entertained.
Yeah, I could just be indulged in that all day long.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to have the self-control to turn it off, because that's one of the things I enjoy most, is sitting down, either just I like by myself or with my kids or with my family, my wife, and watching. But it is what it's doing though. Is it's just taking your mind off of the real world sometimes is what it is. Yeah. And in that process where your mind's off the real world, it's not on God. And so then you're feeding your flesh and not the spirit. And then all of a sudden you're just like, well, I'll get into scripture tomorrow. I'll pray tomorrow. And then it just,
now, snowballs. You know, you have some guys who are sitting here saying, come on, CJ, man, not everything is, that cut and dry. And it doesn't have to be, you know, that because I watch a movie, I'm supposedly feeling guilty now for watching a movie.
I'll tell you what, you should feel guilty if you're spending, let's say 6 hours a week watching football and you spend an hour a week praying and in your Bible. You should feel guilty.
Yeah, why?
Because you're loving yourself and not God. Because you're feeding yourself. You're doing what self wants to do, not doing what God wants you to do.
So you're here to make guys feel guilty.
No, I'm here to tell you how it is in my own life. I get convicted if I watch too much. That's why I either give myself a choice, watching movies or football. And it's usually movies, because I only allow myself so much time a week. If I'm not in the Word or praying, then I just cut myself off.
Yeah.
So,
well, in a sense, instead of just if we were to reword that a little differently, then that you should feel guilty for watching football for 8 hours a day or whatever. Okay. Is there another way of putting that?
Another way that's not so.
Yeah, like you're coming out and telling us that they should feel guilty.
Oh, man.
There's a possibility that you could feel a little uncomfortable from the spirit within you if you spend too much time watching football.
Yeah, maybe. See, I come down hard on myself because that's how I convict myself.
These guys don't want you to come down hard on them.
Well, it's because if I say it passively like that to myself, I view it passively.
Oh, and you don't take it as serious.
Yeah. So, okay. But if I tell
but you have me in your life, so I
you tell me, and I think, but a lot of men don't do that, and including myself,
they don't let me in their life. Yeah, for sure.
And even myself though, like I mean, I still should be calm more than you know what I do. But the only way for me to get seriously convicted about it is I gotta tell myself, you could either lead your family to hell or you lead them to heaven. What are you doing right now? You're leading them to hell because you're not leading them to heaven. If you're not doing anything in the Word, you're not directing them to heaven. The only other direction is hell, right?
There we go.
Okay. So I'm blunt with myself because if I'm not blunt, then I'm going to take it as it's not a big deal.
So you see, this is what I have to put up with every day with CJ. But anyway, it's not that bad a thing. It's not a thing at all. So anyways, listen, we're going to take a break right now because I think you need to catch your breath. You need to get a little water in you and just kind of chill for a moment here. We're going to be right back and see if he can reword different things today. Stay tuned. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
I tell you, I feel like an old bear today because I love the slower pace of winter. Some of you have been as busy as a one-legged cat in a sandbox, and brothers, it's time to slow down and spend time with the family. And the very best place to gather the family is around the dining table, featuring, of course, a delicious Hempler's ham. Woo-wee! Or maybe pork and beans with some tasty Hempler's bacon cooked in it. Now, I know some of you worry about weird ingredients that some companies put in their bacon these days, but don't get your knickers in a knot. Hempler's Meats uses the finest raw ingredients available, including natural spices, and guess what? No gluten. So if you're ready to hibernate for the winter, then order your own supply of Hempler's Meats delivered right to your cave. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Fix my eyes on you. Oh, 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 on you. Fix my eyes on you. Oh, fix my eyes on you.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. I had no self-control when music gets going.
You just got to let loose.
I just have to let loose sometimes. My wife and I, we were at a movie here the other day, and there was a commercial, or not a commercial, but advertisement or something. They had this, I can't know the type of music it is, but man, I was just rocking. I was
cutting
in
a rug.
Yeah, yes, and I didn't care who was watching, you know. I'm on my.
Was your wife downtown. Still around? Or?
She was. She started cutting it too.
So, you know, cutting off to the side?
Yeah. Oh, it's all good. Okay, so this is on self-control. There's so many different areas of our life that we sometimes – that we others have told us, hey, can you have more control of your body, yourself, the way you talk, the way you act, the way you do things? Can you just try to have a little more control? Mm. And we do that with ourselves sometimes in a certain sense.
Yeah, well, I think go off a commercial you just said, talking about the break, is about since it's football season anyways too, is talking about – football with the cheerleaders and even the commercials that come on during the football games themselves. So I would say they're inappropriate for
And just so that we're straight here, come on, we're not going to try to make a topic about the lust of the flesh, because that's usually what usually takes place. You're sitting there and go, I just like dancing, though. I like watching women dance. Come on, brother. Let's get real here, okay?
You know
the
why
simple
you're
fact,
watching.
You know what you're, yeah. what's going on and what you're looking for. Or mm-hmm. what you know. The point is that is in a sense inappropriate, and it's something that attracts. And they know how to be able to get men's attention. It's through the this.
Well, that's
means,
why
in
they're
a sense.
They're,
okay?
they're there because they can get. If they didn't get men's attention, they wouldn't be there.
Well, you know why they invented cheerleaders, don't you? They're for losing teams.
So then when I've heard that's good. That's okay. good.
We're losing.
I wish I knew that in high okay. school. I would have been pulling yeah. that all day long.
But the fact is, but simply, the fact is, I mean, if we're watching TV, you know, thank you, Lord, for DVR, right? That you can actually
fast forward
through okay. commercials a lot of times to get yep. through things mm-hmm. without having to. To watch things that are maybe inappropriate or things that I don't necessarily want myself or maybe my kids
yeah,
to watch.
Yeah, that's a big one. I think you need to have enough self-control to, even if your kids want to watch something or that you need to have, say, you need to set the bar, set the example, and explain why you're fast-forwarding through the commercials or why you don't look.
Right.
So if they don't see you exercising self-control, they're not going
to
exercise self-control.
Yeah, you've got to be willing to do it yourself you're doing it by yourself rather than when
Well, the thing is you won't even really have to kids just see, they'll just, they catch on. They're not dumb. You don't necessarily even have to explain it. A lot of times, they'll just know if they see you looking away, they're going to look at the TV, look at you, and they're going to realize what's going on if it's repetitive, if you do it enough. So,
well, every now and then I've had to say something to one of my grandsons or something, say, hey, why are you looking at her like that? You know, and, what, Papa? What?
She's nice hair.
You know, yeah, whatever. But this comes down to self-control. What are you willing to do? Are you willing to do what's necessary to be able to watch what is taken in? See, our heart is sinful because it takes in the things of the eyes and what we hear, okay? And, you know, and from the overflow of our heart, comes right out of our mouth, and sometimes that's where our language is inappropriate, and we talk
our
about coarse jokes, and exactly.
Yeah.
So when it comes to self-control, one of the areas that's difficult for men sometimes is not only, it's an area, okay, and that's where it comes to anger or temper. In a sense, not so much anger is not necessarily a bad thing when it's under control.
Yeah.
Okay. It can be actually a useful thing when it's under control.
Yep.
Control of the spirit, in a sense. Okay. By the spirit.
I think this is where I've struggled with the most is because it is when that temper goes, it's just like tunnel vision. It's like once you're in it, it's like stepping in between two dogs fighting. You're not going to stop anything at all. So, and you don't realize it till you're done.
Right.
And you're like, oh, why didn't I just not do that? Why didn't I have some self-control? And I think this is where there was nothing. Because I used to have extremely bad. I can still get hot sometimes, but it used to be like all the time.
Yeah.
And there was nothing that I did to stop it. I had to just really want to stop it and pray about it. I mean, that's what it came down to is praying. I mean,
but it's so challenging sometimes, right? You end up there's so many things in the world that we try to I'm a barometer sometimes on what's going on in my life. In other words, if things are going well in my life, I'm in a good space.
Mm.
If things are not going that great, don't come near
me. Woe
is
me.
Yeah. You get to a place before the woe is me is sometimes sitting there going, no, this is not good.
Yeah.
And then something takes place. And sometimes it could be, this is where the old adage or saying something about, you know, you kick the dog when you come home. And the dog's just coming up and just wants to be petted. And you come up and you, boom, get away from me, you know.
Yeah, you take your frustration,
on people around you, okay. And unfortunately, that doesn't that doesn't lend to being someone who is, I want to be around you type of attitude.
No, I think when, I mean, because I was once there too, and you just, if someone is like that, I would say the relationship with God just is not where it even remotely should be. And you're not going to be able to exercise any self-control at that point anyways.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to, because it's not, you may look in the world and say, I know people who are in the world who they don't believe in God. They don't follow him, but they have amazing self-control. Sometimes they have the ability to do, I mean, when I was younger, a lot of drugs, a lot of drinking, and they could just stop at any time because they had a lot of self-control. They did. They could just stop it at any given time that they wanted to. Never addicted. It could be anything. They just had, seemed like they were gifted in that area.
I've never heard that term before, being gifted to be able to.
Well, if someone isn't God-fearing and they don't walk with God, there's no other
way
to.
Who's that a gift from?
God is still good to.
Oh, to the people who are doing this.
Well, he loves us all. He still stops us from doing stupid things, more stupid things than what we're still doing. But the reason I say gifted is because if you're not in the Lord, you're not going to have any self control. In my opinion, that's what I've experienced. When I was in the Lord, I was the most erratic, most temperamental person there was, lustful after everything. But I know a couple people that they didn't have that. They were able to have self-control.
But you can actually have self-control as a non-believer, okay?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But the thing is, and why I say it's a gift is because you can't exercise self-control unless it's given from God, for one. And two, a believer, they're going to start knowing that they need help with that. They're going to start praying about it or fasting about it. And then God's going to see them wanting it. God's going to give it to them.
I believe that we can actually have self-control and self-discipline as a non-believer in specific areas of our lives.
I would.
Right?
Yeah, but I think that's...
It's from the flesh. You can actually will that yourself to a certain degree. And I'll use you as an example.
Okay.
When you were pumping weights and doing everything before mm-hmm. you were a believer, right?
Yep.
You're pretty self-disciplined in the certain things that because you wanted a certain goal that you attempted, that you wanted to get to achieve. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And did you not do certain things a specific way so that you would not... Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about. Okay? So there is a sense of being able to control as a non-believer. So, but here's what we're talking about in the sense where it comes down to how does it affect us as followers of Christ in sin. Now, you could very well consider that sin that you actually had an idol, and your idol was your body,
mm-hmm.
right? And so you were in the midst of sin, and you were practicing that.
Yeah. The self-control was a sin. Is that what you're, in a sense?
Right. But you are actually idolizing your body and trying to, and so as the self-control was all part of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it came from you. It wasn't because God gave you self-control to idol your body, okay? And because we are in, as back to Romans 6:6, right, where we're talking about that we're enslaved to sin,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so as a result of that, we end up getting to a place in our lives, okay, somewhere down the road, realizing that there are certain things in my life that are no longer applicable. They don't apply. They're not necessary. They're unimportant. They are, in a sense, for me, I had to look at them as a waste of time. Okay.
Things that you used to do?
Yeah, prioritizing. Yeah, exactly. There were certain things that had to be tossed out.
As in your sinful nature, just things that just didn't...
Sinful nature.
Okay.
Okay.
What about things that just didn't advance?
Sinful nature.
Sinful nature.
Sinful nature. Or do you keep some sin from the past?
No.
Okay. Not intentionally.
No, no. Yeah. I was thinking keeping things as in you still do things. It may not be... a sin that's really open to your eyes. But let's see, what did I used to do? I still go to the gym once in a while.
Yeah, but there's it's not for the same necessarily.
It's not, it's not even remotely close,
it's not
for the
even
same
close
reason.
To the same thing. Yeah. And in a sense, you know, you're in the process of looking and dealing with life differently as a result of your change of heart, as a result of submitting and surrendering to God, saying, I can't do life like this any longer. You know, life has to change. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk. Let's talk about some application that we can do in our lives to help hone in on the self-control and self-discipline. What is it that we can do to make things more better?
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Shout it out. Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio.
I don't know that song, so I couldn't shout it out.
You don't know that song?
I don't know that song. I only listen to about 8 songs.
Oh, that's right. You're listening. You're watching movies 8 hours a day. That's right. And you watching the Minion movie over and over again?
I do. I watch that over and over again, unfortunately, sometimes.
Your son, he's got me on that one, too. Every time I watch the movie, my granddaughters or whatever, he has the Minion language down, there's no doubt. But anyway, let's put some application into things, because there are so many things that we need control over, self-control over. It's almost to that point, if we look at our lives, it's like, man, this is ridiculous.
Sometimes
we do things unconsciously, I think, in self-control, that we actually know that it's better. You do it long enough, enough times and persistent perseverant in certain areas. We used looking at commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Inappropriate commercials that come on.
Is that what you're saying?
That all of a sudden, you know, when you see a woman taking her clothes off, or you sense, you know that something's happening, you turn away and you look away, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do that enough times, it becomes automatic. It becomes a habit where you're almost sensitive to knowing that, okay, this is going to
like the muscle
somewhere.
Memory, just boom.
Exactly. Yeah. And so you either turn down the sound and turn away from it, or you just don't look.
You just do it without thinking.
Exactly. Yeah. But that comes from doing it over and over and over again, right?
That doesn't just come from once or twice. it could be years of doing something like that.
Yes.
So
it really requires a lot of self-discipline.
Self-control.
To be able to say, no, I'm not going to go there.
Well, I think setting boundaries for ourselves is one of the most important things, so that we don't allow ourselves to justify ourselves when we step outside of those boundaries. If you have a problem with drinking, it's common. So you just don't go back to the bar with your friends. You got to set boundaries up of what you do. You don't.
Right.
Just certain things you don't do.
Right.
So
yeah, if you have a problem with alcohol and your life changes every time you drink, or you have no control over it in a sense, you might think you do, but if your life changes and all of a sudden that means that there might be a challenge there. So the last thing you want to end up doing is continuing to drink,
Or put yourself where you're tempted. That's a big thing, is knowing where you're being tempted in and not doing it anymore. For me, all my buddies at the gym, they're still steroids, they're still, and man, you talk about coveting.
Yeah, because you stopped, didn't mean that the whole world stopped,
man,
right?
You talk about coveting. I can't even, pumping iron with Arnold Schwarzenegger. It was like done in the late 70s or early 80s, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, they came out with a Pumping Iron 2. And every time I run, I'm like, hey, have you seen this? I can't even watch it because I know I'm not going to be able to I mean, I like it, but I wouldn't be able to enjoy it. My mind's just going to go back to thinking, oh, man, I had that. I should be this. And it's just going to start just backtracking tremendously. So, and I know that that's going to separate me from God. And you just got to set the boundaries of what to do and what not to do, plain and simple. Or even hanging out. I don't really hang out with them anymore just because I know where the talk goes, where everything goes. So, and I just don't want to get caught up in that because I know my mind, my flesh is going to start lusting after what I used to have, what I used to do. And I don't want that separation from God. So
there you go. Well, like anything else, we end up having to guard our heart. Let's see. The scripture says we guard our heart above all else. We guard our heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Amen. And really what it comes down to is that we need to be guarding our heart, because the things that come in, whether it be through the eyes again or verbally that we hear things, then all of a sudden that's what we end up taking in. And mm-hmm. that's where, and most of the time it's not necessarily the best.
Oh, okay? It affects you sometime in your life.
So like you have a fort or a fortress, you're going to have guards guarding the fortress, right? And you want to be on the lookout, making sure that you see anything that could cause harm or cause a challenge to the fortress. And
that's a good analogy.
And
right?
So when we use that, our heart is that we're trying to guard our heart. We need to be able to put up our, as you put in here, our boundaries, saying, hey, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to put myself in that situation because that's going to could weaken my spirit and put me in a challenge of sitting there going, I may give in. I could give in. Mm-hmm. And when you think that way. Yeah.
Those are red flags everywhere.
That all you just, over the place. Yeah.
That's the spirit convicting you. Hey, don't do it.
And exactly. And that's where I was going to go with that. That's where usually if we end up asking the Lord, if we ask the Lord, Lord, is this place that you want me to be? Is there a good reason and purpose? And let me tell you something, brother. Don't use the one, well, I'm there to show them what Jesus is all about. No, that does not work.
I got to speak into my friends' lives after five drinks.
Yeah, yeah. I'll get them under control. I got to do like Paul does, you know. Be as they are so that, no, that's not the same thing we're talking about. But anyway, like anything else, you know, in Jerusalem, they used to have the judges that were at the gates to enter the city. They judged, in other words, they would not let someone into the city unless they were, you know, they checked them out first. Mm-hmm. And somebody who was a stranger, what are you bringing into the city? What, you know, so that's what we need to do. Mm-hmm. We need to be on guard and judge all of that that's going to be coming into our lives. And if it isn't something that would benefit our relationship with God,
well, if it doesn't honor him.
Honor him, I should say, in a sense. It's something we need to take a second look at.
Yeah. Well, if it doesn't – here, this is how I view things. This is what I tell people. This is what I tell myself. If it doesn't honor God, who is it honoring?
Yes.
It's going to either honor one or the other, either God or the devil. So whatever you're doing, if it honors God, good. If it doesn't, then you're honoring the devil no matter what it is. I like to get into talking about not the boundaries but also how fasting go ahead.
That's going to be another, got less than 2 minutes. That's not even going to even
touch down.
Yeah. You want to talk about fasting? That's got to be on another day, brother. Look at that. I just had to, it's just not going to be able to work with that sort of thing. Cause we don't have enough time to even get into explaining it. But you had mentioned 2 Peter, chapter 1. I think it was verse 6, something in there also, too, to help us know about self-control that, in a sense.
It mentions it in 6, but I'll read from verse 5. So it's, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love.
Yes, yes.
So I think what that applies is once we have the knowledge of what God wants us to do, we need to put that into work and have self-control over the old ways, over the old flesh that we used to have.
Yes. You know, there's something about self-control that, yes, it does restricts the our indulging on foolish desires, okay? And that's a good thing, okay? And we find that all of a sudden we go, you know, from thinking, feeling guilty about something to all of a sudden not having to worry about whether this is good or bad, because we know that because of the self-control that the Lord has given us, that we're going to go to in another direction that He wants us to be.
Amen.
And those are the things that we end up wanting to be more like Christ. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, every day.
You know, we are to be more like Jesus. And if people don't notice us as Jesus, we're not really doing the job, are we?
No. Well, the old thing, if someone says, I didn't know you're a Christian, that should tell you something. So,
yeah. Ask your friends. Say, hey, you notice anything different about me? They'll say, no, you're just as selfish as you were before. You know, and all of a sudden, certain things take place.
They may tell you need to exercise self-control.
But this thing about self-control and perseverance, or I should say
discipline,
we really need to be able to have somebody in our lives that can help us, not necessarily your wife or your girlfriend, but another brother, that you allow him to know who you are, sharing with about who you are, so that he may speak into your life when he sees you kind of going awry, so to speak.
Amen.
You know, these are things that only come through fellowship with other brothers, and they're so important in our lives. So, well done, brother. Sorry to hold you up on the fasting. We'll have to do that another day.
And, that's all right.
Then you can bring up self-control once again. All right. How about you praying for our brothers today?
All right. Father, I ask that you would give us grace upon grace this day to exercise our self-control over the lusts of our flesh, that you would allow us to put to death self and to honor you in everything that we do, whether it's walking with friends or teaching our family, Father. So bless us and watch over the men out there that they may have self-control, Father, over their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.